Blog Talk Radio.
Charges of abuse, neglect, and addiction enter the picture.
Many times, these are convenient charges against innocent family members guilty of parents even after the partner left. I heard many unwed fathers tell me that they begged the mothers of their children to marry them, but that the mothers were unwilling to give up the welfare check in exchange for a husband and father in the home. The most outdated picture of the father leaving the mom and kids to run off with his secretary is all but a thing of the past. In Southwest Michigan, 98% of the divorces are initiated by mothers and unwanted by the fathers. These aren't abusive fathers either. Equal parenting is not a men's issue. I was a single mother for most of my children's lives, and I know what children need most is the love and balance two fit parents can give them. Money can never make up for the loss of a parent. Divorce or separation should not be the reason some kids will never get to know one important part of themselves. Equal parenting does not do away with child support. Child support takes on a whole new dimension for children with two loving parents instead of just one. I am humble as I stand in the shadows of one of our greatest founding fathers. Here in this place, another great father, Martin Luther King, announced to the world that he had a dream. Well, Mahatma Gandhi told us that we must be the change that we want to see in the world. Are you willing to be that kind of change? Yeah. Thomas Jefferson said that we only have the rights we're willing to fight for. Our Constitution gives all the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But for some children, the right to have two loving and involved parents in their lives has been usurped by the courts. Courts rule according to precedent, and the precedent has been biased against one parent in the past, branding him or her the non-custodial parent, which in itself is an insult. Equal parenting by two fit and willing parents is what our courts and agencies must go back to believing in. Laws and fiscal policies must not facilitate conflict and adversarial relationships between parents. It's only a matter of time before the civil rights of families will be restored in the courtrooms of our nation. Thank you.
Okay, that was Carol Rhodes. She worked with the system for a very long time, and she came under attack for all the abuses she saw in the system. So she wrote a book called Friend of the Court, Enemy of the Family. And in that book, she detailed as an insider how they profit from Title IV defunding when it comes to child support and how the courts work in a way that really destroy the lives of the family. When the court comes in, it can't be good. So in this episode of the Child Support Hustle, I'm talking with former beauty pageant contestant, who we will call Sam, but her name is, she's not hiding from her name. We're just going to use Sam. If she wants to reveal her name, she can. And we also have Michael Volpe on the line. And so how's it going, Michael and Sam?
Hi, how are you doing?
She's not hiding from her full name of Sandra Rosini Rucki, but it's, you know, she just goes by Sam. Okay.
I'm not a former beauty pageant contestant. I'm a former beauty pageant winner, but that's okay.
Oh, okay. Winner. Okay. She is a winner.
Right.
You used to win it,
that's
so
okay,
keep
no
your spirits
problem.
Up. Whatever you're going through, you're going to win that
too.
Also.
I've lost pageants too, but I've won and I've lost. So.
Okay.
But thank you for having me on today.
Well, we're glad to have you on. Could you tell us how, when you first saw the nightmare of the courts? I know it's a lot to your story, but I'm just interested when you first realized in yourself that this thing with this court is going to be a nightmare.
I can't say when it exactly started. It was an amicable divorce. The terms and agreement of money, custody, property was all agreed between me and my ex-husband, David Rucki. We went in, the judge signed the original divorce decree. It was a done deal. And like I said, full agreement between me and David Rucki. Approximately 30 days after the divorce was filed, David took me back to court and claimed it was false. So I would have to say that was probably the beginning of the end, when I realized that I had been played, had, and I was now involved in a hell that a family court.
Yes, and we all
Marcus,
know how.
Marcus, can I jump in really quickly? There's something about the divorce system that everyone should understand. The financial terms of your divorce become final after 30 days, and that's why he waited 30 days. The custody arrangement can be challenged any time as long as you can show that some sort of substantive change to custody has been made. And so what happened between Sam and her ex-husband, and her ex-husband, despite what 2020 will tell you, is abusive, and the evidence of abuse is overwhelming. So she just wanted out of the divorce. They had a multi-million-dollar business, and she gave him her 50% of the business. So he took over the money. She did at that point get alimony and child support, though I don't believe he paid any of it. But be that as it may, he was able to take the overwhelming wealth. And then at that point, he then challenged custody. And as you'll see the story, when David Ruckey was supposed to pay alimony and child support, he never paid it. As soon as he got custody of the kids, he immediately went to the court and forced payment upon Sam. And keep in mind, he received 100% of a multi-million-dollar estate. It included multiple homes, multiple cars, and a multi-million-dollar business. So in divorce, it's supposed to be what's called equitable distribution. And the judge in this case is a judge named David Knutson. Apparently, in his mind, equitable is 100% of multi-millions to one person, zero, leave them on the street and homeless to the other person, and also stick them with child support. And that's what Judge David Knutson considers equitable.
Yes, and I've seen once he did that, he still ordered an outrageous amount of child support in the case.
That
correct.
Is correct. We produced tax returns of my job as a flight attendant for the airlines for, I think we went back 20 years. We produced everything, and it showed that I had never made what they claimed I made, but they said that they believed I could make what they ordered me to make, even though the evidence of all those years showed that I had never made what they had accused me of or said I could possibly make. So they do an imputed income. You only make, well, let's say, example, $20,000 a year, but we're going to believe that you make 60 to 100, therefore that's what you're going to be billed on, even though the records show that I never made that kind of money.
That's
right.
One of the
and also
with a study, they had a study in California at Berkeley, and they were talking about how child support was being calculated wrong, and to use impugned is the worst thing you can do because it's going to hurt the payer.
Correct.
Well,
correct.
Keep in mind, they did make me homeless, so I'm now at this point living on the streets. They even took my clothing down to my toothbrush. I had nothing, no property, no phone. I was denied contact with even family members, my own family members, as well as my children, most of all. So they've completely left me desolate on the streets and then said, now go do your job. Keep in mind, they took my uniform also. So they took all what I needed to even do my job and then said, go do it.
Right.
So they put you in a situation. Go ahead.
Right. We also need to keep in mind David Ruckey, her ex-husband, received 100% of a multi-million-dollar estate, and the judge felt that wasn't enough. Like he can't find the money to take care of. They have five kids to take care of the five kids in the multi-millions he received. The judge is also now ordering child support on top of it, and you know, how does that work exactly? If he receives the entire estate, isn't part of that estate supposed to go to the children? Why is he also asking for child support? And this happens all the time. This happens all the time. It's a completely unfair, quote-unquote, equitable distribution. So one person receives almost nothing. They don't get any custody. And then the judge will order child support on top of it, as if getting 100% of the estate isn't enough to take care of the children. Keep in mind, this guy's got four homes. He could sell one of the homes to take care of the kids if he's struggling for cash. And this multimillionaire walked in the court and, in arguing for child support, claimed he's on public assistance. So he's got four homes, seven cars, owns a multimillion-dollar business, and he's still getting public assistance somehow. And they use that public assistance to say, well, then he needs child support.
This seems like to me like he has some type of connection with the legal system, but we both know, Michael, that these family courts, and especially child support, they're used as weapons. They're used as weapons.
Absolutely. And look, every weapon's been used against Sam, but child support is the most recent. But you're right. To say that he's got a connection to the legal system, Sam can explain this better. When she says they had an amicable divorce, I don't remember the exact month. It was 2011. He didn't even hire an attorney. They basically split everything up, and I think the quote that she told me was, he says to her, "You take the kids, I'm taking the business." So it's basically a deal. You give me your half of the business, I'll give you custody of the kids, because he didn't really want them. And so he
doesn't
have an
attorney.
When you
say amicable divorce, Michael, keep in mind when we went into the first judgment, we say it was amicable because it was agreed upon, but the distribution of assets and properties was not. Even the judge, Wormiger, in the first one, said this is not an equal distribution. He is getting everything. And I said, I just want a place to live and my children and mine safety. He goes, you're giving him everything. This is not amicable. You're agreeing to this. I said, I just need to be safe. He said, you know, there's child support in there, which was not even, 2% of our total gross earnings a month? I mean, it wasn't even 2% of what the gross earnings off the tax return, which is basic living to survive. So
She received the home they lived in. He received almost everything else. And the judge, I believe, warned her that if you sign this, you cannot go back in here and try to change it, because I'm telling you now I don't believe this is fair. And, again, this is all a setup. So this guy, he didn't even use an attorney for that part. So he agrees to that, and then as soon as that 30 days runs out, he's got a new attorney. Woman's name is Lisa Elliott, and she asks for Judge David Knutson, and this gets really deep into the weeds. He, through his secretary, I don't remember what the woman's name is, places himself on every part of divorce and any other court matter that could come up. And, you know, David Ruckey violated multiple restraining orders, not just against his ex-wife, but other people. It would repeatedly come up in front of Judge David Knutson. It's not only did he have a connection at the court, but he asked for that connection, this guy David Knutson. And when Sam says that she was left homeless on September 7, 2012, this guy ordered her out of her home and to not contact anyone, including her children. So that's how she was left homeless. And she was left homeless because before that, she had a meeting with a psychiatrist named Paul Reitman, who after that 30-minute meeting decided that the situation between mother and children was so significant, so serious, that she needed to forcibly be removed from the home. And this was in a letter. So a 30-minute meeting leads to a letter, leads to what they called a telephonic conference. When I say a telephonic conference, this was the judge, the lawyers, not Reitman, not Sam, not David Ruckey, but the lawyers. And they weren't taking testimony at this telephonic conference. It's basically like if you and your three friends got together and everybody's just talking back and forth. That's what happened. And then that led to a court order where she was forcibly removed from her home. That's how she became homeless. So you say you've got a connection at the court. Yeah, that connection is Judge David Knutson, who is still on the court.
Exactly.
So when you talk about that, they just need to know that when this meeting that I was forced to go to, I was told one morning I was in court and they said, you need to be at this Paul Reitman's office. What am I going there for? Doesn't matter. You have to go see him and bring the kids. I'm like, why are we going? You just are ordered to go. The meeting was approximately 20 minutes. After that meeting, over a week went by. Nothing was ever said. Me and the kids were living. The kids, you know, going on with life. Everything's fine. So they claimed this emergency, and I think it was almost 9 days later that all of a sudden this phone conference happened. And the next thing I knew, 2 hours later, I'm thrown out of my house.
Right. Wow. And so that's what leads her to be homeless. And then after that, and keep in mind at this point, and here's what's really interesting. On September 7, 2012, Judge David Knutson, in his infinite wisdom, if you will, ordered that neither parent have custody. So at that point, there was no child support because neither parent had custody. But he leaves this woman homeless, and then down the road, and eventually her two oldest daughters ran away, and they ran away because they were going to be forced to live with abusers. That's why they ran away, regardless of what 2020 will claim. Eventually, he received child support. Here's a woman living on the street, a man who receives multiple homes, all the cars, the entire business. And by the way, he never once paid any of the child support he owed. And when Sam had attorneys, and she, when they asked for Judge Knutson to basically make the order go, meaning, you know, he's supposed to pay, make him pay, he just refused to make it happen. As soon as he received child support, he immediately went to the court and demanded that she start paying. So here's a guy who skipped out on his child support for approximately 2.5 years, but as soon as he's receiving child support, he goes to the court to demand payment.
For all five children, which two were not even in his custody.
Right. And the two who weren't in custody were still counted.
Yeah, it's a whole total. The system is totally corrupt. You know, like I said, they use it as a weapon, and they use it as a way to break you down. You see, they break you down by breaking up your relationship with your children. They break you down to a point where you can't hardly defend yourself legally because they're going to have you chasing in behind this child support and all this outrageous taxes they put on it each month. The interest on it, it's just really being used as a weapon, and judges and caseworkers, they're all in it together.
Mm-hmm. And you're correct, and that's what they did within my job, even before the criminal conviction where I was charged with depriving my ex-husband of his parenting time because my children chose to stay at an abuse center. What they did was they racked it up to an amount where the federal government pulled my passport, so I was unable to work. And then said, we don't care, still work. Well, you just racked up an amount that I can't pay, which you pulled my passport. I can't work. So now what do you want me to do? This? That's not our problem.
Let's go to what I was saying about doing so much to you where you can't fight back. You know, they can, they like I said, take your money away from you, your ability to provide for yourself, and your ability to get a lawyer to fight back. And that's what I think. The system is just purely evil.
Right. And look, so let's just show the evolution. This is a woman who in her marriage was in a multi-million dollar estate. The estate is removed. She's then removed from the home she's living in. And then she's told to pay child support while she's homeless, while her ex-husband gets the entirety of the estate. And by the way, this, you know, there's no reason to hide her identity because this has been covered all over the place, namely 2020. This part, no one covers this part. There's not one newspaper, TV station, or radio show which has covered this case, which noted that in this quote-unquote equitable divorce, he got 100%, she got zero, and they told her to pay child support. Now, that's not important. Is that not an important part of the story as in a quote-unquote equitable divorce, equitable distribution, one person gets everything and the other person gets zero? That's not important?
Because when you get to talking about that, it begins to show the evil in the whole system. It's all about greed. The family court and child support is all about greed, and they won't touch on that. I was talking about that on another show. Well, you know, usually if a cop gets killed, everybody's talking about it. It's all on the news. You know, they pound it into your head for days. Well, they didn't pound the one in Texas for days. And this guy just walked up to a cop and just blowed him away. And when they finally caught him some days later, they asked him, you know, what his motive was. And he said that they was playing with me. They wouldn't let me see my child. And see, they didn't talk about that. No more. After he made that statement, I didn't see about that murder in the news anymore because it would get to the heart of the matter. What would push this man to do something like this? And it's the way family courts are run. They are designed to sometimes to do all at the same time, to financially cripple you they can physically hurt you because of all the stress they put you under. You know, so they physically trying to hurt you,
Yeah. Right. You're talking about a woman who had multi-millions who now can't see a doctor, can't see a dentist. who has to find lodging on people's couches. So, yeah, that's a stressful life. And again, her ex, it's all the homes, the entire business, all the cars, all the rest of the property. And here's a case. This is the one of the few divorce custody cases which is covered. No one mentions this part. Now, that's not important that a judge decides equitable is 100% to zero. How is that equitable? It's not even close to equitable. And by the way, when I reach out to the newspapers which covered it and point this out, no one answers me. When I ask the judge, no one answers me. When I ask the public relations person at the court, no one can explain to me how it is that this judge, David Knutson, could figure out 100 to zero is an equitable distribution and then add the child support on top of it. What do you think is the goal here? If you make a woman homeless, if she can't find work, and then you stick her with child support that you know she can't pay to a man who received everything, what exactly is the goal? What's the goal? What do you think they're trying to do?
Yes, the goal is to do one of the ones like I said. They can break you financially, and they're not satisfied with that. They're not going to be satisfied with, you know, keeping you poor, trying to take everything they're keeping you in the hole while they add interest to it, and mm-hmm. it fattens up their programs. That's all it does. Mm-hmm. They don't care about it. So they will kill you, you know, as Michael,
right. Well,
as you know.
And that's, what's the goal? If you leave a person homeless with no money, no way to earn a living, and then stick them with a child support they can't afford, goal, if not to completely destroy them, to end their lives. And
yeah.
We should note the last child support hearing happened while she was awaiting sentencing. And it was a new judge. It was no longer Judge Knutson who removed
Pastor himself. It was Maria Pastor of the Court
right.
County,
he,
who specifically
Knutson,
requested
Knutson,
to be on the case.
Right. Knutson removed himself. And, you know, you want to hear strange hearings. During the custody trial, her still attorney, Michelle McDonald, was forced to conduct part of this custody trial, handcuffed to a wheelchair. And then Knutson ordered sole custody to the other side. And when 2020 ran this story, they just mentioned the sole custody of the other side. Didn't think it was important that the trial was conducted, at least in part, with one lawyer tied to a wheelchair. Now, you know,
and me not present. I was told to leave the court. I was told
right,
that my
with,
trial
without
was
her,
to
right, without her client. So they didn't. All they would tell their audience is that David Ruckey got sole custody. They didn't mention the inconvenient fact that, yeah, based on a trial where the attorney was handcuffed to a wheelchair. Well, Michelle McDonald sued him. I broke the story nationally. That story was picked up by the Alex Jones Show. And then within 10 days, Judge David Knutson removed himself. So when the latest child support hearing came up, this woman, Maria Pastor, was the judge. She ordered $975 per month in child support based on this, like, 4,000-plus monthly income, which obviously someone who's going to jail is not going to be able to pay. Someone with felonies
and
records is not going to
pay. While I was in jail. The entire time I was in jail, she retroactively.
But here's the best part. When she received her first bill, she was already due $14,000 in child support. So apparently it wasn't $975 a month. Somehow it was just $14,000. And all of this is all right. It doesn't matter. The courts, they did all of this in one case. All right, a woman's left homeless. Her ex gets everything. Her lawyer conducts part of the custody trial in handcuffs. The next judge orders $975 a month and immediately makes the child support $14,000. All of it. And it's all okay because every time they go to an appeals court, the appeals court looks the other way, all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. So it's not just the judges at the trial level, it's the judges all the way through the appeals process, including the U.S. Supreme Court, which decided there were cases more important than this.
This is a question I have. When you said the appeals court, you mean the federal, right?
State, federal, every appeals court.
We went through every appeals court.
Right. Look, when removed from her home, let me give you an example. When she was removed from her home forcibly, an appeals judge said, well, that's okay because it's a temporary order. Okay? So she was removed from her home without a warrant, even though the Fourth Amendment says you can't be removed from your home without a warrant. And the judge on the appeals court goes, yes, I can see what you're saying. You are correct. This was done forcibly, but it's okay because it's a temporary order. So apparently you can be removed. You know, I guess a warrant's all right as long as you say it's just temporary. And by the way, that order was in 2012. She hasn't been back in that home. So that temporary order that judge ruled is 5 years in counting. State, district, federal, U.S. Supreme Court, which decided not to take the case. That's correct. Every court. And they continue to make excuses. The fact that this judge put himself on each of the cases, another appeals court recognized, yes, he did that, but it's okay because it's a judicial function. So basically what he's saying is a judge can put himself on the case, even though he's not supposed to, as long as he's the judge.
Now, keep in mind, when he's talking about cases, he's talking about any case that either I'm on, whether it's a speeding ticket, whether it's a civil matter with somebody else, anything that David's on, he said whether together or separate, anywhere in the state. So
right.
say something happened in
the
county. Sorry, go ahead.
Right, yeah. Can I show how ridiculous it is? Sam's parents, her dad made the money. Sam's parents were very well off. They left a very large estate. I think there were 7 children total, so split between the children. That was done in Hennepin County, which is basically the county next door to where this divorce happened, which is Dakota County. This judge, David Knutson, put himself on the estate and decided to rule on the estate, even though that was a trust where her father had written out exactly who gets what. He puts himself on it, puts it into the divorce, and then rules that the money that was supposed to go to her goes to her ex-husband. And then he rules that Sam should pay the taxes on it. So let me make sure everybody understands this.
Any money that came from my parents' estate is simply David's outright. It does not go to child support. It doesn't go to alimony. It's simply his money.
Look, what he did was what this guy Knutson did was he stole from a dead man. Let me make sure everybody understands. He stole from a dead man. Her father left each of his children money because he was very well off, did well for himself, wanted to make sure that all his children were taken care of. Sam is one of his children. This guy Knutson places himself into the trust and then orders that the money that was supposed to go to her, even though it has nothing to do with the marriage, because this is coming from father to daughter, go to David Ruckey, and then orders her to pay the taxes on it. So now we have theft and tax fraud. And do you know what the IRS is doing? They're auditing Sam. So they're auditing a homeless person and completely ignoring the fact that a judge ordered that one person gets the money and another person pays the taxes on the money. That's how far this is going. And that's because he placed himself on each and all of the cases. And when an appeals court judge saw this, he said that he's still performing a judicial function. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, he placed himself on all those cases because he was probably paid in the beginning. I believe he actually probably bought him.
In fact, we know he was paid, and we know how much money he was paid. Unfortunately, we cannot get the document to prove it. But, yes, he absolutely was paid off. He was not paid off. He's an idiot because he acted as only someone who has been bribed would act. Who else would give 100%? Who else would do all of this unless you've been bribed? And again, I'll note, including 2020, lots of places have covered this. No one seems to notice the bad behavior of the judge.
Now, keep in mind that David is on welfare. He doesn't deny that he's on welfare. And when that was brought up to the state, they said all the hundreds of thousands of dollars that he's received out of my parents' estate, his homes, his cars, his multi-million-dollar company, all that is irrelevant, completely irrelevant in his Title IV funding. He's allowed to have all his welfare because anything that he has is irrelevant. Now, keep in mind, for the short time that I did receive $198 for a couple months in the state of Minnesota, I was given general assistance because I was on the street. That general assistance that was paid for by the state of Minnesota was also ordered to be given to David Ruckey.
Yeah, that's right. This guy's on public. This guy, David Ruckey, who owns multiple homes, multiple cars, boats, and a multi-million-dollar business. And you know, here's how he pulled it off, was he willed, or however you do it, but he put the business in his sister's name and had her pay him out of the business and go, it's not my business anymore. Now, that's naked and transparent. And any judge who sees someone take a business and move it from their name into somebody else's name right before they ask for child support is supposed to know that that's fraudulent. Not only did they say it wasn't fraudulent, but they were like, well, since he doesn't make any money anymore, he needs to get child support. And then he gets public assistance. Not only, look, he doesn't acknowledge that he gets child support, that he gets public assistance. He used the public assistance as a talking point in order to get the child support. He said, I need child support. Look, I'm on public assistance. This guy lives in an affluent suburb, Lakeville, of Minneapolis. He owns multiple homes, multiple cars, but he's on public assistance. And rather than people investigating the clear fraud, they give him child support because he's claiming he's on public assistance. All right.
I mean, but you got to paint the picture, though, Michael, because these people might be thinking that he's living in these homes. We are not talking $100,000 home. We are talking $500,000 on up is each home. So these aren't just little, you know, $50,000 homes. These are $500,000 homes on up. The one that he claims he lives in is worth $700,000. The other claim, the other home he says that he says is just a rental, he claims, is $480,000. So, I mean, these are not cheap little homes. And these cars are not just, as he claims, old. These are old cars. These are like 65 Camaros. These cars are worth $400,000.
It's a multi-million-dollar estate, $10 million and up, and he got all of it. So, look, he's committing with the assistance of David Knutson tax fraud. The IRS, rather than investigating the tax fraud, is trying to audit Sam, who's homeless. All right? Then he's committing welfare fraud. The man tells 2020 he's a multi-millionaire. He told them. All right, he's right on national television, on a multi-million-dollar trucking business, and then shows up 4 months later into a court and says, I'm on public assistance. Rather than investigating the tax fraud, the theft, and the welfare fraud, they order him to get child support on top of the public assistance. And here to top it off, let Tim finish this. Last Friday, the flight attendants, and she was a flight attendant, at her old employer received a raise. Now tell them what happened as soon as they received the raise.
This is an employer that I don't even work for, received a dollar raise an hour. They had already found out about it and upped my child support at a company I don't even work for.
So number one, the company is clearly, and that's American Airlines, the company is clearly in real time sharing personal income with his attorney, Lisa Elliott, and then she immediately lobbies the court to increase her child support based on a flight attendant she doesn't even work at.
It's all about keeping you, like I said, keeping you financially broken down where you can't fight back. Okay, I've seen that, Sam, you had a Facebook page. You want to tell us how people can get in touch with you or anything that you're doing to help your cause?
They do have a Facebook page on me. There's only one that's an official Facebook page. Basically, you can contact the Facebook page, and people that are running it will then move from there. They'll take care of it from there. But, yeah, you can contact the Facebook page. There is also the Justice for Grazini Ruckey Family at WordPress.com. You can contact through there. I think you can send messages through that. I'm not exactly sure how it works. But that's another way that you can try to help and get the word out there and share posts. And, I mean, calling the legislators and doing all that, we'd like to think that that would help, but it actually, I mean, just they're not moving on anything. This has to be brought to the face front of what's actually going on.
Yeah, and I just want to tell tell you and Michael, if y'all can get me something in text, then I can put it in the magazine.
We'll write something up. But yeah, you know, you say you know that their goal is to destroy you. And, you know, that's the understatement of the year. One person gets everything, and then they chase after a woman for child support as she's on the street, and then the judge orders that he receive her inheritance, and she's supposed to pay the taxes. And again, now you have multiple agencies involved in this corruption, because the IRS, rather than looking at this going, no, that's tax fraud, and it is tax fraud, all right? If one person receives the income, that's the person who's supposed to pay the taxes. Rather than saying, hey, no, that's tax fraud, they're like, well, it's a court order. Well, yeah, no, that means you investigate the judge who's committing the tax fraud, which would be David Knutson. Rather than investigating him and David Ruckey, they're trying to order her, saying, how come you didn't pay the taxes on the inheritance that your ex-husband received? Now, think about that. One person receives the money, the other person's supposed to pay the taxes, and the IRS, rather than straightening it out, goes after the person who they tell to pay the taxes on the money the other person received.
Yeah, this sounds like a clear case of legal abuse by that judge.
Just think. Legal abuse is an extension of domestic abuse.
You should be able to sue them personally.
Right. Well, they tried that, and judges receive significant protections from lawsuits, and so the court threw it out based on his I can't remember the legal term, but the court threw it out because
if a judge breaks the law and violates all your constitutional rights and breaks federal and state law, they are still immunity.
And that's based on Stump versus Sparkman. That was a case where a woman, her 15-year-old, the woman thought the 15-year-old was mixing with the wrong sort of a crowd, walked into a judge's office and said, hey, take away her ability to have children. The judge goes, no problem. Doesn't tell the girl. She thinks she's going to get her gallbladder removed. Her ability to have children is removed. Then she gets married, tries to have children. She can't have children. Her new husband, Leo Sparkman, sues the judge. And the court goes, no. And this is the U.S. And here's how corrupt that ruling is. The court decided the judges have immunity from these kinds of lawsuits. So a bunch of judges, a 5-4 ruling, 5 judges decided that all judges should be immune from lawsuits. And so based on Stump versus Sparkman, when that lawsuit was brought, it was dismissed. But let me mention one thing about that lawsuit. That lawsuit was brought on, I think it was September 11th, 2013. It was the next day that her attorney, Michelle McDonald, was forced to continue with the custody trial in handcuffs. Now, when she brought the lawsuit, and one of the reasons she brought the lawsuit was to remove the judge, she asked the judge to recuse himself. Here's how corrupt the system is. The judge decides whether or not they have a conflict of interest. This judge looks her in the eye and goes, I don't care if you're suing me for $700 million. I can remain objective. And then the very next day, he forced that same lawyer to continue with the custody trial in handcuffs. Does it sound like he remained objective? And yet he's the one who decided if he could remain objective.
Okay, y'all, you want to say something to wrap this up? And I hope y'all come back, because keep us up with this case as much as you can. I mean, this is, like I said, it's really outrageous. That's why I want to put something about it in the online magazine, so I can just keep this story alive.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. If you want to wrap it up, look, this, I've covered a lot of cases. It's not the corruption here. It's just not even close. Every other case, and not just in family court, VA, political corruption, police corruption. It's nothing close to this. And part of it is the media corruption, and specifically 2020, which did a feature on this case, which ignored all of the court stuff, which I get, you know, that's fine. It's they can decide what they want to focus on. But they claimed that there was no corroboration to domestic abuse, being given 40 pages worth of police reports of domestic abuse, and it's just disgusting. That's why this case is important, because the amount of corruption here is just, it dwarfs every other case I've ever seen.
Okay, and with that, we look forward to having y'all back on. Please give me that paperwork where I can get that story out there. I definitely would love to do a write-up on it and try to put it out there as much as I can on all my platforms. So this is just totally outrageous.